Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back to another Speak As Well As You Think podcast. This month, we are going to discuss companies that exhibit a culture of effective communication and a couple of the things that we see they tend to have in common. There are really three big ones. One, they have open and safe communication amongst their teams. Two, they have a high focus on development for individuals. And three, they focus on a growth mindset. So let's talk about each of these three things in a little bit more detail from the perspective that we've seen and had experience with. John, I'm going to throw it to you first. When we talk about open and safe communication, what exactly does that mean?
It's really transparency and then accessibility across the organization. When I say accessibility across the organization, some companies operate from a top-down approach where you might see leadership in that ivory tower piece. Mm-hmm. They're not all that accessible from various levels of the company. I've got to go through so-and-so, then I've got to go through so-and-so, then I've got to go through someone else, and maybe my message gets seen by somebody at the top. The whole open and safe is you should feel as a leader, your ability to help your organization thrive is making yourself available. Mm-hmm. There's that phrase, the best ability is availability. And so when you think about, doesn't matter where the employees come from within the organization, if someone's got a question, someone's got a comment, someone's got something, an idea that they would love to be heard. Organizations or companies that are successful have open door policies or at least frameworks in place that allow those comments, conversations, interactions to exist, and they exist more organically. Mm-hmm. It's reaching out to Jen or reaching out to Matt and saying, hey, I've got an idea around something that's going on within this project. I'd love to have my thoughts listened to or heard. And then allowing some type of meeting to exist. Maybe it's a presentation. Maybe it's some very informal interaction. But those are ways in which employees feel like it's safe to be able to reach out to levels that might be 3, 4, 6 above them. Leaders feel it's good things when I have people reaching out to me, even if they're in a different business unit from a different part of the organization, running through our internship program. But this is more where open communication is going to be that key.
Yeah. And I think an important note on that is that whether it's me being able to open up that vice president's calendar and seeing that they have time on this day and booking it myself to schedule this meeting or this chat, or I know who their perhaps admin is, and I can reach out to that individual and schedule a meeting, but it's not this random, who are you? Why are you emailing type of mindset? It's more, I have that, as you called it, the open door policy. I'm available. If I have time and you see it, snag it.
Yeah. And it's not being afraid that if I reach out to this person's admin, I'm going to be disciplined or scorned, right? Because someone else from the business unit might say, well, John, why are you reaching out to so-and-so without coming through me first? Yeah. And, you know, many organizations talk about feedback loops, but having touch points in whether it's feedback related conversations, performance reviews, but having them with frequency. Mm-hmm. Making sure that, okay, the one time a year that this happens, it's going to feel awkward because it only happens one time a year. And you do this 12 times a year, once a month. You do this 4 times a year, once a quarter. These feedback loops or these availability situations or scenarios that exist make every single interaction that much more comfortable because of the frequency. And it's not that you have to have feedback conversations daily, and it's not micromanaging, big difference between the two of those. Mm-hmm. But it's really allowing for these touch points to happen anytime that you might want it or I might want it, and making sure that the culture recognizes this is the policy that we have. This creates those open and safe relationships where more times than not, successful organizations have those and they thrive within them.
And I like to draw this back to something that's, it's not necessarily business related, but it's very, very accurate to what we talk about here. And that's from where I came from in school, which was pre-med, a lot of science, and what they have is open peer review, mm-hmm. where they open that door to anybody to make those comments because they know that the frequency throughout that process is going to make it better. Everybody knows that the anxiety builds and builds and builds if you're only going to have one review point. So whether it's with science or whether it's here in this business-based example, the more that you're able to have that open feedback and see things from the other side of that spectrum or the other side of that curtain, it's going to make it a little bit more comfortable when you actually get to that end goal. Typically in business, that's something that's being presented externally. I personally find it a lot easier to present things externally after having that little riff or that back and forth multiple different times and fine-tuning it with those that are around me.
Yeah, and to your point, Matt, coming from education, I mean, most professors, whether it was at the collegiate level, the high school level, they had a study period or an open period. It
Office
was
hours.
office hours, essentially. Yeah, exactly. That you can book a meeting, come in, ask me about something that's confusing you, help you prep for an upcoming test, work on a project, give you feedback on something. But the whole purpose is to use my time in a way that's going to assist you, but in assisting you, it's also, when we think about it through a business lens, it's assisting the organization. You're thinking about things, how can I improve this? How can I make this easier? Whether it's for your employees internally or it's for a client or customer externally, it's bouncing those ideas off of other people to get the brainstorming wheels moving. If we don't have that ability, at some point we either get stuck or nobody looks to do anything different because what's the point?
And we even, those listeners who have been through programs with myself, with Jen, with Matt before, you've likely heard from the three of us the phrasing, use us as a resource. There are no bad questions. There are no stupid questions. There's just questions that don't get asked out loud that don't get answers. And so in these types of scenarios, we encourage that open culture, even within our short one-day program, two-day program, multiple session program, two-hour workshop. If you've got a question, ask us. If we don't know the answer, we'll be the first to say, I don't know, let me find it out for you. But more times than not, we'll have something in response that will help guide some question or some thought process that might be existing internally. But that's the idea of the accessibility and openness. Make sure you lean on the availability of those around as resources.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, the nice thing with that open communication is when I have questions, I'm able to ask them as I need to. When we have that more gated or more siloed communication structure, we find that those questions build far more. I personally like to get one or two questions at a time instead of somebody coming into a meeting and us having to cover 15 to 20 questions because we haven't had that communication before. If you slow it down, you space it out, and you allow them to navigate and digest whatever that task is, it's also going to make your life a little bit easier and a little bit more digestible as you try to answer some of those questions or work through whatever that standstill may be.
Yeah, great point. And I think through that lens, for some of our listeners, where you say to yourself, maybe I don't have that culture in the organization that I'm with, or I simply don't know. Start by asking a manager or somebody who's been there for a while. How can I, or have you before gotten in touch with, the person that runs our whole team or our whole part of the organization? Have you ever had lunch or seen, for that matter, the C-suite or the CEO of the company? But start by asking a couple steps ahead of you or those who have been there for a while, and just get an understanding of how your organization works. And then little by little, it's not like you have to meet with the whole executive team in a Monday through Friday of a single week, but little by little, start looking for pockets or when you have ideas that you can put something on the calendar with somebody a few steps above you and have those conversations and start picking their brain, learning from them and their experience and how long they've been there. All those things are just going to help strengthen your organization as a whole.
Yeah, it can even be as easy as finding out when are the town hall meetings taking place. I realize in the hybrid world today, some of them happen virtually, others happen in person. And if you're someone on a team that is more remote in nature and you say, I don't have the ability to pop in for lunch, knowing that Jen is going to be in lunch this day of the week, then it might be figuring out when is that town hall that's going to be run virtually. Let me see if I can jump on that. Let me see if I can ask a question. But doing a little bit of due diligence can go a long way in figuring out and realizing, okay, I want to start encouraging the needle to move more in that direction of the openness and accessibility.
Yeah, great point. Okay, so that's step one, have an open and safe communication arena for your team or your organization. Step two is this high focus on development for their people. Matt, I'll throw it to you first on the development one. Again, what does that mean to you?
For me, the focus on development is more making sure that there's a little bit of give and take in terms of what we're going through in that workforce. I drive it to my lacrosse sense in terms of coaching. Focus on development means that while you're giving these skills and this information to the people in front of you, for me, it's kids or athletes or whoever it may be. You are taking those questions that they're asking you back. And part of it is giving them the responses or the critiques or the information that they need to continue to make those steps forward. But the other part is making sure that you're tailoring it to those people that are in front of you. Because again, open communication looks different for each and every person. We don't want this to be a blunt form of communication. We still want it to be tailored and strategic to who we're working with and the information that we're dealing with. But again, we want to make sure that it's done in a sense that's going to keep them moving forward. So, as I said before, if I'm teaching 10 different individuals a single skill that builds off of the last one we talked about, and I notice maybe one or two of them hasn't necessarily picked it up, focusing on that growth and focusing on that development is making sure I take that extra 5 minutes on my end to ask them if they have any questions or want any pointers or pull them aside to give them those extra tips. In the workforce, this may look a little bit different. It may come as communication openly about emails that we're writing or tasks that we're going through or slide decks that we're building out, but in a way of making sure that maybe the feedback that we're giving or the messages we're writing back or the edits that we're making come across as development based. They don't come across as too blunt, too honest, too my way is the right way, and more of, hey, we may see some more efficiency doing it in this form, or we may just generally see some better results. Would you mind giving that a try? Again, development and positivity can go a long way in that arena.
I would say focus on development piggybacks off of the first one. When you think about open and safe communication, development exists as a two-way street. And as Matt said, it's purely providing your talent with the tools to succeed. If they don't have the tools yet, you've got to allow them to acquire said tools. If they have the tools and maybe they've not been used in a while, perhaps they were used differently at a different organization or used in a unique way with one business unit. Now they've taken a lateral step instead of a vertical step, but they're working on a new business unit and new team. It's sharpening the tools to operate best in this environment. Hey, I realize this is the way things worked for you on the previous team. That's excellent. This is the way things tend to work best on this team. Or here's the outcomes that we're looking for. This is the unique way to use and execute on those skills. But I really do believe those are almost 1A and 1B. Organizations that allow for development to exist tend to have less turnover. Companies that operate where employees feel constantly stuck, perhaps not challenged, or they're looking for development, they don't know where to find it. Either they can't find it or they've been told from the organization, don't have budget for that. We don't really do development on this team. That's where turnover exists because people realize very quickly, I've either hit my plateau or I'm no longer feeling challenged. And because of that, I'm going to find a place that allows me to develop more of this thing that I'm looking to enhance, this thing that I'm looking to optimize. But a lot of it is continuing education in certain arenas. Maybe it's getting mentorship from a senior leader, from a peer, or having those peer opportunities to say, hey, once a week for this hour, everybody on the team jumps on a call. And it's really just, it's a workshopping ideas type of interaction. There's not a ton of structure to it, and that can be a good thing because sometimes that's how ideas populate best, where there isn't exactly a forced agenda. It's more, let's just jump on this and think outside the box a bit.
Yeah. John, to your point, development needs to be on a two-sided spectrum. So it's not only on things that aren't working well that need sharpening. While yes, that's a very important piece, it is also successful. Successful organizations also have it through the lens of what do you want to know more about? And then allowing teams or their people, whether it's through a survey or, like you said, a team brainstorm that we have to say, you know what, I'm feeling pretty confident in this area. It seems like this aspect of what we're doing is going pretty well. But I'm really finding that I struggle a lot in this arena, or I'm really hoping to learn more about this topic. Is there an opportunity for me to take something? Do we have a vendor? Do we have an internal training for that? Somebody that does this or has done this before in their pastime that, like you said, you could mentor up with. But it's that double approach. It's not only this isn't working, so let's fix it. That is definitely a component of development, and it's an important one to have, especially for people that I don't know why it's not working and I would love to do it better, but I don't know what to do in order to make those changes. But it's also through the lens of, I want to learn more about this. Do I have the opportunity to do that?
I'm going to pull a quote from a book I'm reading right now. The book is called Radical Candor. It's by Kim Scott. And this is very early in the book introduction. Kim Scott, former employee at Apple and Google. She says, at Apple, as at Google, a boss's ability to achieve results had a lot more to do with listening and seeking to understand than it did with telling people what to do. More to do with debating than directing, more to do with pushing people to decide than with being the decider, more to do with persuading than with giving orders, more to do with learning than with knowing. And then she goes on to say that Steve Jobs at Apple was quoted as saying, I don't mind being wrong, and I'll admit that I'm wrong a lot. It doesn't really matter to me too much. What matters to me is that we end up doing the right thing. So it's just a neat perspective on, again, encouraging and fostering growth, allowing for development to exist. Maybe it's not people saying, I'm struggling with, but back to Jen's point, I have questions around. And then it's giving them information, providing them with knowledge, helping them better understand. It's not so much a pain point now. It could be if these questions don't get answered, but it doesn't always have to start with a pain point. It can just be more of that open. What do we want to talk about or learn more on? What's going to help you do a better job or be more effective at what you're currently doing?
And so I think, again, for listeners, if you don't have that culture of development right now, don't be afraid to ask your manager or the person that leads your team about these opportunities. Maybe they're there and they just don't get a lot of people that ask or request for that. So maybe there is budget available. Maybe it's just the manager knowing that there's interest in a certain thing to get the ball rolling on finding a vendor or finding some form of a session to help strengthen that interest or need that the team might have. But if you don't ask the questions, you're never going to know the answer. So part of it is just seeking to find out what opportunities are available for me. For those organizations that's a really high focus, it's something they'll hear about all the time. They'll constantly have opportunities to sign up for, participate in different trainings or opportunities. But if that's not your culture, just start by asking those questions. John, I really liked the quote from Steve Jobs that you just highlighted, and I think it transitions us really nice into the third piece on having that growth mindset. And I love it through the lens of somebody in a leadership position being able to say, I don't mind being wrong, or I don't mind not being completely right. This is what I have a team developed for. I'm not running the team because I'm smarter than everybody on the team, or I know best. I'm running it because maybe you have a good leadership outlook and you have the unique ability to foster other people doing well, bringing those questions up, putting those big ideas that might have some pushback or might not be quite conventional out there, and being able to support and say, Love that idea. Very interesting. Let's dig a little bit deeper and see how that might work.
Yeah. And even in the book, there's tons of quotes just in the first 10 pages I've read. But another Steve Jobs, at Apple, we hire people to tell us what to do, not the other way around. It's great to be able to have that transparency. It's great to be able to be a leader that acknowledges I'm in a position, yes, I don't know everything. And there are certainly things that I don't know that you are going to help me understand or bring to light, show me a new perspective, give me a unique thought process that I hadn't considered. I want to understand that. I want you to share that with me. I don't want you to feel like doors are closed, walls are up because of my position or title and your position or title. It's making sure dialogue is open as often as possible. And dialogue is direct. It's not a bunch of compliment sandwiches. It's more, and I believe that's where this book is getting without having read the entire thing yet. But the radical candor idea is, can you still care about the people you interact with, but encourage direct feedback happening so that there aren't these pieces where people say, oh, I cared so much about the person, I didn't give he or she the feedback they needed because I was afraid it was going to hurt their feelings.
And I think a big piece to remember from all of that is that our communicational structure and style will cascade down the organization as a person in a place of leadership. So whether it is that we are a manager at a single place within a chain, or whether it is we are a CFO, a CEO making higher level decisions for the entirety of the organization, we have to handle that communication sort of how we handle the golden rule as little kids. We want to treat others the way that we want to be treated. And if we're looking to emphasize that open form of communication, that open leadership style, that growth mindset, we need to apply it to ourselves as well. We need the people down the food chain and along that line to see that we're taking those same steps. We have open hours for the inbox. We're accepting emails. We'll give them replies on those pieces where we can get those out. But again, setting those standards for, hey, what does this look like for me? And allowing that to cascade through whoever is within that workflow or in that bunch of colleagues and making sure that, again, they're taking the same approach or the same steps that you're taking as that leader. We know that monkey see, monkey do tends to be a very large thing in the general public, and it's no different in that workforce. If one person takes a course or a training or a informational meeting that they really like, likelihood is 10, 15, 20 people from their company are probably going to take the exact same meeting, training, seminar, or whatever it may be. So again, as we do these different things, remember that you standing out or you making a difference as a leader now may be slightly out of the ordinary at first, but as that starts to cross those boundaries and move to other leaders and people down that food chain, you'll see that that's making positive steps in terms of that open communication.
You have to walk the walk. It's the same thing we do in our trainings. If we got up in the front of the room and the skills that we were coaching other people to do differently, if we couldn't do them ourselves, that's where somebody would look at us and say, I understand what you're saying, but you're not doing it. So why do I have to do it? It's the same thing. You take a personal training course with somebody that is not in shape, and or you go to a physician who, you just saw smoking outside before you had their appointment. It's some of these thought processes of you're telling me that I need to do this, but you yourself don't do it. And then there's this lack of trust or this lack of feeling like you actually know what you're talking about or care. And so being able to use yourself as a leader, those same techniques and suggestions that you are giving to your team, when they can see that you do it, they have much more buy-in and support for the overall process as well.
Yeah. And this is something I've seen just with Lauren, my wife, who owns her own physical therapy practice, but she's created standard operating procedures for her team. This is the way the gym looks when we arrive. This is the way the gym looks when we leave. Obviously, you pull equipment out for each of your patients over the course of a day. That's great. Use them as much as you need to, use them where you need to, where it makes sense. End of the day, if you're the last one there, the gym looks the same way it did when you arrived. And there's pictures, but all of Lauren's employees have seen Lauren put things in places, clean up after herself, the same way she would expect them to do so. But if you lead from the front, that incentive and buy-in is so much easier from the team versus saying, well, I've never once seen John clean up his stuff, whatever he was using during that appointment.
Yeah.
This doesn't exactly make me feel like I need to do it either. I've seen John walk out of the room at the end of the day and figure, oh, I'll just get to this stuff tomorrow. Make sure you're setting the tone for what the rest of the team, expectation-wise, should be acknowledging.
And I think to Matt's point earlier, too, he mentioned you don't necessarily have to be in a leadership position to start doing some of these things. I have a great example from my husband's company. The CEO of his company is an amazing CEO. And a lot of what he does now is based on how he felt 15, 20 years ago when he was just a regular employee at an organization. And one of the things we've moved up to Seattle for my husband's job, he had an opportunity to open up an office up here and run a team up here. And his CEO has come to visit us, I think, once a year at least up in Seattle. We've gone to dinner with him. Not necessarily business related. We've talked business here or there, but more just checking in with us, seeing how things are going. You're now in a new place. You don't have any village here. We have no family or friends up in Seattle. And one of the things he had said is that he took a role many years ago, a leadership role in a brand new place. They didn't have family or friends. He moved and not a single person checked in to see how they were doing or what was going on. And so that was something that he very much remembered. And as he started to climb the ladder and be in more leadership positions, that was something that he's always kept very front of mind. And not only is he concerned about obviously running the business and making sure they're successful and that everybody's doing what they should, but it's also checking in to see how are they doing? What else do you need from me? How can I help? Are there other resources? In this case, development opportunities, training opportunities, what things do you think we need? But all those things are important. While you might not be in a leadership position at this moment, think about those things you appreciate or perhaps don't appreciate right now, and then start to consider how can I do that or be that person for others?
And Jen, stemming off of that, I think the big piece to remember really is that how we feel in these different communicational situations within the workforce tends to correlate pretty well to how comfortable we feel in the general workforce. How we feel around people that may be one level above us, one level below us, or in a different position that we've may never met, but we can have those conversations. They can be conversations that, one, are not going to be stressful. There's not going to be problems around every single corner and miscommunications and arguments. And second, those are going to be pieces that if I need to go back to this person, ask a question or get a clarifier or just make sure that everything is going correctly, I'll be able to do that in a comfortable fashion.
Yeah.
It's not going to be critiqued. It's not going to be looked down upon. And generally, those are the companies, the situations, the workflows that we find people feel the happiest about the work that they're doing.
And stay. And I think that's one of organizations' biggest goals is to hire good people and keep them on. It's not
Retention.
constantly refilling a position every year or every other year because there's this lack somewhere. When we think about cultures that have and create effective communication, they have that open and safe communication throughout the organization. You have accessibility to people to throw ideas off of each other. They have a focus on development, being able to offer people opportunities in areas they want to learn about and also areas that perhaps they need to sharpen or continue to fine-tune. And then they have that growth mindset. Whether you're in a leadership position or you are more of an entry-level position, you have the ability to say, I want to do better, or I have something to learn from the other people around me. As always, if there is another topic you would like to hear us discuss on a future podcast, you can respond directly to our email newsletter, and we will get that in a future rotation. Otherwise, we'll see you next month for another Speak As Well As You Think podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. Thanks for listening.